So it's a joy to see you again this week, and we'll be walking through the topic of prayer. Last week we got through the introduction, we looked at Ephesians and how we're charged to pray how? What was that thing Jeff gave us? Ephesians, remember 3 weeks ago? 2 weeks ago? Last week? How are we supposed to communicate with God? Okay. Jeff, shame on us. We are to be in communication with the Father through the Son by the Spirit. Okay, and that's where we want to get to in our prayer lives as we grow as believers in Jesus. Let's do this. Let's open in prayer. But I want to start off with, as David would have us pray in the Psalms. Okay? So I'm going to start at Psalm 146 just for a little bit here. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have being. Father God, we come before you this morning to praise you and to worship you and lift up prayer and supplication to you and you alone. Father, thank you that Jesus intercedes for us even now. Lord, when we have no words, Jesus has the words. Father, you know our hearts, our minds, and our souls. And we thank you for that. You have made a way where there was none. So Lord, as we come this morning, we ask that you would lead this session, that you would give us the counsel that you have for us through your scriptures, that we would pray and please with you. Lord, we long for community. We long for communion with you. So Lord, we ask you, open your scriptures before us today and show us how you would have us to pray. We thank you, Lord Jesus. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. We had gone through briefly last week the introduction that Jesus prayed. He gave us examples. He showed us how he prayed with his disciples. And he gave us the scriptures as a roadmap on how we're to pray in our day, in our lives, and how what that looks like. Today we're going to try to put some more scripture around why we're called to pray. And so on your handout, when you come down about a third of the way, you'll see where it says, to whom we pray. That's where we're going to pick up today. And then why and where and how. We all have a call and a desire to pray, but sometimes we don't know how to formulate that. Sometimes we've never been taught how to pray as baby believers into growing in faith and as we go. How is it that we've just not been able to do that? Sometimes it's a matter of someone sitting down with you or mimicking a prayer. Sometimes it's the common book of prayers, like we talked last week about the early church gave prayers. But what's that look like when it comes down to Mike D'Andrea sitting in the still morning with Scripture in front of me? And that's where we want to be, because that puts us into the presence of the Most High God. That allows us to commune with Him. I noticed as I did my research, there's a common book of prayers for morning prayers and evening prayers and special prayer for the church year and special prayers for occasions. I'd submit to you, my friends, that God wants us to be in prayer with Him throughout the day. Okay? That when you roll over in the morning, your eyes open up, thank you, Lord, that I see a light of another day. Okay? Lord, thank you thank you for that ache. I know I still got a hip as I get out of bed. Thank you for my children. Moms have the most desperate prayer around. What do I do with this child? What do I do with my spouse? Okay. But how do we put meat around that? How do we look at structure? So that's kind of the focus where we want to go here in the next half hour. This is a lifelong adventure I'm trying to take you on, friends. And I'm sure many, many, many of you are intercessors and many of you have prayer lives right now. But if we can help one another by looking at different topics and how to expand that and dig in richer and make it deeper, then we will have served our purpose over these last couple weeks. Okay, so communion with the Father through the Son by the Holy Spirit. We talked about how long does it take to develop a bad habit. Now, if you don't have it, I encourage you as friends in Christ and brothers and sisters that develop a habit to be in communion. I'll tell you what. Many people I know claim to be believers in Christ, but they're persimmons. They're sourpusses. I'm from Oklahoma, so persimmon trees are just bitter and nasty and ucky, right? But they have no spirit of joy about them. Some of that comes in our time as we pray, because we've got God's Word in front of us. What would be the first thing we should be thankful for? Anyone?
Scripture.
The fact that we're saved. The fact that we've got a family around us. The fact that we've got people who love us. The fact that we have people that pray for us. Mm. My Aunt Nancy's with the Lord right now. I know she prayed for me from a little boy on, and it took 40 years for it to take. Okay? But I know, as much as I'm standing here, her prayers are why I'm here standing before you today. And I give God the glory for my aunt, who was a faithful prayer warrior. So it may be a prayer that's answered today in 30 seconds. It may be a lifelong prayer. And I encourage you to think about that, because there's no prayer that's not heard. There's no prayer that's not known by the Father. And He does answer prayer. It may be yes, it may be not yet, and it may be an absolute no. But remember, He's sovereign, we're not. He's God, we're not. Okay, so first, to whom do we pray? I'm going to go right down to 101 here. Who do we pray? Who do we pray to?
To the Father.
And I said it a minute ago, through
the Son,
by the Holy Spirit. Where do I find that? Genesis 1. Okay, always go back to Genesis, friends. Because Genesis is the root of Christ. It's the root of our salvation. It's the root of all things that we need to be able to understand and walk through. So, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, telling us that God is the Creator and He's the one to whom we pray. There is only one way to Him, and that's through Jesus, as we just said. So in Genesis 1:26, God said, "Let us make man in the image after our likeness." Okay? And who hovered over the waters? Who hovered over the darkness? The Spirit. Father, Son, Spirit. With me? All right. I'm seeing heads nod. Either you're going to sleep on me already or we're getting there. Okay, so we've got a direct line to God, our Heavenly Father, through our prayers. Do I need anything else? Jesus is there interceding for us. Our prayers go up. Jesus intercepts. They go to the Father through His purification, through His blood, through His righteousness that we, after we're justified, we're in that sanctification period. So we're still sinful beings, but forgiven by grace. Okay? Hang on to that, friends. That's why we have joy. That's why we can stand up in the morning and say, "Thank you, Lord, for another day. I have been bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ." And that gives us the right and the command to be in communication with our Father. Okay? His amazing love and His mercy and His forgiveness. Okay, we've got scriptures that we can look through as we learn the Bible, as we read through our Bibles. By Him, all things are possible. Right? Jesus says that. Humanly speaking, impossible, but not with God, everything is possible. So that's in Mark 10. Okay, so everything's possible through God. Okay, so we know we've got the Father who we're praying through. I don't need a saint. I don't need a statue. I don't need Mary. I've got a direct, authorized path to our Lord and Savior. Hang on there, okay? Please grab that and hang on to it. I don't need to have a common book of prayer as a help. But I don't have to go and read that, because that limits me only to the prayer that someone else wrote for me. It's good that it's there. We need that. But what's your heart say? I hurt. I'm in pain. I'm seeking for someone else. My job's at bay. All those things. That's God waiting to hear us pour our heart out to Him so He will know that we're dependent on Him and not on us. It's our strength that gets us in trouble. Man betrays man. If you haven't figured that out, man betrays man. Okay? So why should we pray? I touched on it a minute ago. It's our heart. It's our thanksgiving to God. It's showing Him that we love Him and we praise Him and we worship Him. The key to prayer and the key to God's heart is our prayer. Think about that. Who walked with Adam and Eve in the garden? God. He wants fellowship with us, friends. He wants fellowship with us. He wants us to be in His presence. And that our means today is in prayer. We're in the Word. We're reading His Scriptures. We're seeing what God's promises are and how He did. We see the history of His people. Did we ever see any patterns develop with the Jewish people, with the people Israel? What was it? God's grace. They would find a new god or a little g god. They would fall into sin. What would they do? Cry out. God would hear. What would He do? He'd forgive them and bring them out. And they'd start the cycle again. Right? So think about what Scripture shows us as God's pattern. Not the fault for us to fall into sin again, but for us to keep crying out to Him. Okay? So why should we pray? We are called to pray first and foremost thanksgiving. If you can't find a thank you God in your heart for anything, stop and reassess where you are. Okay? You may have a busted rotator cuff, Cliff, but you can thank God, but your heart's still beating, right? You got a bum back. We've got health issues. We have wayward children. But we can find God in our hearts to say thank you. You know, it's trite, but all things are possible. We know that. And people throw it out there so easily. When you're in the middle of a turmoil and someone says, well, all things are possible through God, that doesn't really soothe you, does it? Think about it. But when you say, what can you be thankful for? Okay? Thank you that I've got a doctor to operate on my knee. Thank you that I've got a wife that loves me, sometimes conditionally, but most of the time unconditionally. Okay? Think about that. When your child is just had a temper tantrum in the middle of the Walmart and laying in the floor screaming, it's hard to find sanctification going right there. But the reality is, thank you, Lord, I've got a healthy child. Lord, I now need you to intervene in this child's life and bring him into obedience. Okay? I'm trying to put practical approaches around this, and I can't do it all, but there's things that we can say, Lord, thank you. And so our heart's got to be in that place where we are God's children and we're called to pray. Scripture shows us that. Pray acknowledging He is God and that you accept His gracious gift of Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. You know, that's in Romans. You guys have beat Romans up here pretty heavily lately. Okay? Fear your God. I am Lord in Leviticus. Pray confessions our sins and accepting His forgiveness. Friends, we're forgiven when we confess, are we not? Is that a yes?
Yes,
we're forgiven when we say, Lord, I'm sorry. Why is it so hard for us to say thank you and to acknowledge that we're forgiven? Legalism, thank you. That's part of it, and works, and that sort of thing. But it's so hard for us to say thank you, Lord God, and then believe it. Because the enemy wants to shovel the coals back on your head of guilt. And can I ever be forgiven? And can I ever, ever be able to say and stand in front of God? Remember, how does God look at us? Through the eyes of
Jesus.
Through the blood of Christ, He sees us. Does He see us as sinful beings? No. He sees us as purified and cleansed by the blood of Christ. That's where we can say, I have joy. My heart says, thank you, Lord.
Sometimes we find that so hard to accept and believe, but when we don't, like, we also have to look at the fact that in not believing, we're saying that the blood of Christ is enough.
There you go.
We're lowering what Christ did.
Okay. So how do we come alongside of a brother or sister that's in that state?
The gospel. What Christ has done and magnify Christ.
That's
the only way which we can rightly understand how we're forgiven. I mean, yes, our sin is that great. We shouldn't lower our view of sin, but we should magnify what the blood of Christ has done.
Amen. I love the analogy of looking at the cross. When you look at everything through the cross, you're looking through Christ, are we not? Okay. Who are my seamen? Cliff, you're out on the boat. When you got smooth waters, you can look in the long distance and it just looks like it's stable and nothing's moving, right? What happens when you start getting about a 10 or 12 footer? What do you see?
Yeah.
You see the waves and not you can't see the cross.
Right.
But the cross is still there. The lighthouse is still there. Mm-hmm. You know the jetty and the rocks are over there, but you also know the Christ is there. And we can see through the blood of Christ. So, looking not at the circumstances, those 12-foot waves that are now coming over the bow of your boat are events in life, but looking at the cross and thanking God for that cross. Prayer is basically a thankful heart, friends. A thankful heart, reading into all of His scriptures that He gives us, and it allows us to pray that His will would be done in our lives. And forgiveness is the first. Thanking God for that forgiveness and believing it. Okay? Is there anything you can't pray about? Anyone?
No.
Nothing. There is nothing in this life we can't. Why? Because God knows our thoughts. He knew us before the beginning of the time, and He knew that I was going to sin. Did He not? He knew that each of us that way. So there is not one thing, Lord, I've got this really bad hangnail. Is that too small to pray? No. Lord, it's keeping me awake at night. It's painful. It hurts. I can't write. Okay, I can't type. Lord, would you bring healing? What am I demonstrating by just that simple prayer?
Trust.
God is a healer. He wants us to come before Him and ask for healing. Lord, bring me a doctor. What about when you're barreling down the road and a blue light pops on behind you? Okay, we laugh, but what happens?
Lord, make me invisible.
He doesn't honor those so much. Lord, thank you for saving my life. I could have run over someone. As you're writing out that $50 check and then having to go home to PETA to say, look what I did. That's accountability. Is it becoming a little bit more real in your lives? Prayer is every breath. Thank you, Lord, that I have breath in my lungs. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Okay? For the military guys in here, there's no atheists in foxholes. Everybody's heard that. But you don't know it until the shooting starts. Okay? You don't know it until the light comes on behind you. You don't know until you get the, I'm the doctor and I'm telling you right now that your wife's critically ill. Okay? God puts doctors into our hearts, does He? Or into our lives. Lord, I pray for a physician. The greatest physician of all. Jehovah Rapha. I pray that, Lord, You will give this man hands as he performs the surgery on my spouse. Lord, I pray. That's a powerful prayer of dependence and supplication. And that's one of those fire 911 prayers, is it not? That's what He wants us to be able to do. So we know that we should pray. Sometimes we do and sometimes we don't. We know that prayer is, simply put, talking with God. And that unto itself is just becomes a habit. It becomes, as I said last week, how long does it take to develop a bad habit? How long does it develop a good habit? I'm Mr. Goodwrench. I can solve anything. I can do all mechanics. I can build. I can tear down. I can tear an engine apart. Blah, 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 blah. That attitude is one that I suffered with for years till God took everything out from under me. And that's how He saved me. To take the world out from under me where Mr. Goodwrench couldn't fix, couldn't think his way through, couldn't power his way through, couldn't bully his way through until I had to be totally, utterly dependent upon Him as a child. And it was the prayer, "Lord, I can't," that broke my heart. Okay? And be dependent upon Him. So prayer moves lives. Prayer changes lives. Prayer change. Who here have little children? Okay? Some of us do. Who here? We've all been children. I talked about my Aunt Nancy who prayed me into the kingdom, and I unashamedly say that. To walk in and pray for your children, your grandchildren, say, "Lord, bring them godly husbands and wives. Lord, I pray," and I'm talking about infants. "Lord, let my newborn child be a mighty woman of God. Let her, day one. Lord, let this obstinate child who's throwing temper tantrums in the floor at Walmart be your child." We're dependent upon God. And that's putting wheels to our prayer life. That's putting application to it. So we're talking with God. We're thanking Him. And now, you know, what is it that we want to be able to do as we talk with Him? One of the areas I am guilty of, and it took me a long time to figure out, sometimes we have to stop and listen. Oh, that's a tough one. We live in this media-generated world where everything's swirling around us, and if you're not texting, you're on the phone. If you're not on the phone, you're watching TV. If you're not on TV, you're on the computer. Silence. When you've got God's Word in front of you, and then you're opening it and reading it, and you're sharing your heart with God as you read Scripture, and then stopping to listen. That's when you can hear the small, still voice in our hearts. So we got to listen. God will be abundantly clear when a yes is a yes. And boy, brothers and sisters, I'll tell you, when it's a no, He'll stop you right there. But we got to be willing to listen. We can't just bogart our way through. We need to be able to ask and seek Him and walk towards Him. So being deliberate in prayer, which is your topic number 4, is an area that we are called to be, is deliberate in prayer. What does that look like? Making prayer a priority. Spiritual heads of households are called to bring our children and our families into prayer. Don't shirk your duties like I did for a long time. Okay, we're called as men and women in prayer. And we're supposed to be the spiritual leaders in our homes. That's not a domination. That's a spiritual charge for us to be responsible. For me to pray over my wife and my children and my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren. God's given me the pleasure and the privilege to do that. So we have to be deliberate. And it may be the 15-minute drive to work. It may be somebody was telling me she prays in the shower. Okay? Fine. You're honoring God. You're giving Him all the glory when you're doing that. So, but make it at a deliberate time. Who's going to come into the shower and interrupt you? Well, if you have youngins, it's all off the table for there. But, you know, who's going to come interrupt you in the shower? Find that prayer closet, wherever it might be. Because it's you and God at that point. But it has to be a deliberate. And I'm not looking for a formula of get up at 5:01, have your coffee, and at 5:10, you're sitting at the table with Scripture for 15 minutes to be able to do this. No, that's becoming legalistic. But I will dedicate my time. Okay. If you're like me, if it's 11 o'clock at night and I'm trying to read, what happens to me? I'm going to Z out, okay? But is it okay if you're praying and you fall asleep? Who's it? All right, hands down. Who's had it happen? Amen. Okay. God, but where did you go to sleep at? You're meditating on the Lord. You're praying. You're saying, Lord, and you zone out. You wake up. Should you be ashamed? No. You fell asleep in the grace of God as you're praying. Okay? So those are some of the steps to an active prayer life. Stopping, listening, and making it a deliberate approach. Many of you right now are praying through the Bible for the year, right? You know, so you're praying through the Bible. If you come upon a verse, and this is just now I want to get to the practical side of this. You come upon a verse and you're reading, and you say, oh, that just spoke to my heart. Take a minute and stop. Try this, please. Stop and say, Lord, thank you for this scripture. And pray into that scripture. It's not going to take you away from your praying through the Bible for a year, but what you're doing is you're interacting with God's Word. It's before you. He spoke to you because it touched your heart when you read it. Now give Him praise, saying, Lord, thank you. That answered my question about my great-granddaughter. Okay? That's practical approaches to doing the Scriptures in a way that is very deliberate. Prayers and supplication in crisis are common for most of us, but it's that day-to-day. I'm driving along, somebody cuts me off, and I get angry. Lord, forgive me. Lord, I didn't mean to curse. I didn't mean to. Do it right then. Don't say I'll get to it tonight in my prayer list. Right then. It's hard, you know, and it's taken 40 years for me to figure out how to apologize to my wife when I offend her. I'm still working on that. But that's when you say, Lord, let the G.I. Joe fall away. Let the machismo fall away and have the humility to go before God and ask Him and your wife for forgiveness. What's that doing? That's sowing into your marriage. It's sowing into the value of our relationship God's given us. Okay? So, what should we pray? We've talked about it already. It's communion with God. It's walking in His Spirit. I've got about 10 minutes here, and so I'm going to roll through here. I need my helper. Can you come help me, please, sir? I got a volunteer helper. I drafted him, just like Lyndon Johnson got me. Would you? Okay. I'm not big on how-tos and go-bys, but they're always there and they're helpful. What you're getting right now, handed out to you, is a little bookmark to stuff into your Bible. Okay? And it talks about prayer. And what I've done is I've taken an acrostic of what is prayer. As just a go-by, think of something in your heart that works for you. There are many, 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 many how-tos out there. But if you start off in praise, praising God for who He is and what He is and how He's impacted your life and how He has brought into your life the love of Christ. Time of repentance. Is there a day that anyone in this room doesn't need to repent? All right, I didn't hear but one. Is there anybody in this room that doesn't need to repent on a daily basis? I didn't know we had that many saints in here. We're all saints in the Lord. But to take time to repent and, you know, things that we could have done differently, things we could have. And if you ask, Lord, show me where I've sinned, hang on for the ride.
Yeah.
Because He will. Okay? And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong to say, where have I offended you, Lord, in this day?
Search me.
Oh, because He'll rend you if He searches you.
Psalms.
That's right. That's why I like the Psalms. I love the Psalms. Okay? And then we ask, what was the order there? I didn't walk in with my Walmart shopping list and said, Lord, I want, I need, give me, give me, give me. I'm spending time saying, Lord, You are Father of the all creation. You are Maker of the universe. Lord, You are awesome. And then asking what, Lord, I come to before You with my grandchildren on my heart tonight. Most of them don't know You. They're not in church. They've never heard the gospel. You know, that kind of a prayer. Okay? Lord, my grandson or my daughter or my child. Lord, my boss is an idiot. And you know that. Lord, how can I pray for him? Is that wrong to pray for your boss? Is it wrong to pray for your workers? No. I was in business in D.C. for a lot of years, and I couldn't figure out why I had a high turnover, and I was just really having problems with HR. I started praying for my workers, and God revealed to me that He put me into the mission field in that business, and each of those men and women who came to work for me were people that God had brought into my life, and it was my obligation to pray for them. Now I'm talking Hindus, Muslims, marginal Christians, dedicated Christians, and he started bringing Christians in. And I'm just giving you that as a testimony that I watched business go from drudgery to seeing godly men and women come to work and joyful spirits around them. Try it. Try it. I encourage you to try it. If you're dependent on God and you're dependent on your work, you know, it's him. It's up to him to bless that work, is it not? You can work all day long as hard as you want, and if he doesn't bless it, then it's going to be, you know, fallow. Okay, and yield. The little last step is always yield. Lord, I give you this. You know, my aunt yielded for a lot of years, and God kept me alive through, you know, Vietnam and a whole bunch of car crashes and drinking Drano and all kinds of craziness in my life. But he kept me alive, and he brought me to that point through the love of one saint who prayed fervently. Questions so far? We got about 5 minutes before, and so I want to keep rolling. How do we pray? How do we say it? What's a model for prayer? I love this piece, and it's something that I pulled up. Anybody not heard R.C. Sproul like every week from Jeff? Okay, R.C. Sproul followed the guy by the name of Martin Luther. Martin Luther had a barber come to him and say, "How do we pray? How should I pray?" Now think about the time of Martin Luther. What was going on 500 years ago? Did the Reformation? Yeah. Okay, but did the common man or woman have a Bible to sit in front of them? No. Did they have a priest who took care of all the prayer? Yes. Okay. Did they have an understanding? They didn't have the go-buy books. They didn't have the go-preach-me books. They didn't, or teach-me-how-to-pray-in-a-day books. They had Lord's Supper, the Ten Commandments, and they'd memorized those. They had the Apostles' Creed, okay, and the Lord's Prayer. Basically, we're about all Catholicism put out in most of the places. And it was memorization. Martin Luther said, "Hey, that's a really great question. I've never thought about that." He went and wrote a 32-page book on how to pray. And he said, take a model of Scripture and pray that back to God. You honor God. I've got a copy here. And yes, I'm a handout fiend. I've got a copy of that Martin Luther prayer from 1535, that if you want a copy of it, grab it and take a copy of that, because there may not be enough for everybody, but enough for families. This is a cool write-up, because what it is, he's saying, I believe in God the Father, maker of heaven and earth. I believe, and pray that back to God. And what happens is it sows you into his kingdom, and you're giving him his words back to him. This is cool because, you know, I need pictures. But that's exactly what Martin Luther did here. And what R.C. Sproul did is he put it into a picture book that a kid can understand. Okay? How are we supposed to come to the Lord? As children. So my recommendation, friends, is that grab a scripture. Grab something you're comfortable. Who's got a go-to scripture that you just love and it's your staple? What is it?
Rejoice evermore.
Rejoice evermore. Lord, let me be a joyful man. Let me rejoice in you and through you and by you. You see? Now that's application. Think about your go-to. You know, some people like Psalm 51. Okay, some people love the song. I love the Psalms, but you can grab anything. Luther said, if you grab the Apostles' Creed, and Jeff's taught on the Apostles' Creed, and you pray that back to the Lord daily, what are you doing when you pray that? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. Lord, you are my creator. You have made me wonderfully in the secret place of the womb. You knew me before the beginning of time. Now we're putting words to the command to pray. Yes, you can say pray for Jill and Billy and Bobby and all that other stuff, but now you're honoring God. Okay, this is a cool little book. This is your book. Okay. We're called to pray. We're called that we need a... You don't have to have a method for prayer, friends. But it helps us. It helps us to have a method for prayer. Craft it to what you want. That's my call to you. Craft it to what God wants you to say to Him. Praying scripturally will teach us that prayer is what we need to do. And it shows us how to do it. Praying scripture will correct our shopping list mentality. It's hard to not have a shopping list mentality. But when you're praying God's Word, you're glorifying Him. And you know what? Now you're walking in the Garden of Eden with the Lord, one and one, hand in hand. Because you're giving Him back His words and glorifying Him as you pray it. There's not a word in Scripture that you can't pray back to God. I challenge you to find something that... Try it. Okay? So we're called to pray. We're called to... And I'm coming down to my last couple minutes here. Teach us how to pray urgent prayers. Urgent prayers. Lord, the surgeons have got my friend under the knife. They just had a car wreck. Lord, we ask now in the name of Jesus, intercede in this surgery. Guide. Protect them from infection. Protect them from the calamity that goes with it. Urgent prayer. And you'll know when it's time for an urgent prayer. Your gut's going to tell you. The events of life tell you. Okay? I love to just sit and think about the Lord, to adore Him and to confess Him and thank Him. Try it. When it's the deepest and darkest and dankest and nastiest events in life, thank God for who He is. That's the key. These are the how-to steps, friends. Approach God at all times in prayer. Approach Him. You know what it is? I'm going to say it. It's the old made new in Mike DeAndrea. That's prayer. It's not hard, but it's a lifelong practice. It's a lifelong love. It's a lifelong, here's how I find joy in the Scriptures and in my relationship with God. With a challenging child, with a stretched marriage, with unemployment, with health, all those events of life, He calls us to be in communion with Him. And that's my encouragement for you, to be in communion with our Lord. Any questions? We've done about a 6-week study in an hour. It's a joy. If anybody's interested in praying together, I would invite you to, if you want to pray for the services beforehand and pray for Jeff and the Word going out, if you want to meet for prayer, is it okay?
Yeah.
You know, we can do that. And I encourage you to do that. Okay, let's thank God for this time this morning. Lord Jesus, we thank You that You sit on the right hand of God the Father and that You intercede for Your people. We thank You that You desire a relationship with Your children through Your Word and prayer. Lord, we pray that We will be a house of prayer here in Swansboro. Lord, you'll make our homes houses of prayer. Lord, you have called us to go into the world and share the gospel of Jesus. We pray that you will lead us as a light unto the dark world. Lord, we pray that we would understand and keep the full armor of God about us. Lord, we pray this morning for each family represented here in this meeting and for our church. That, Lord, as they ask for their daily bread, that, Lord, you will fill their hunger and the empty spots in their hearts through the word of your scriptures. Lord, we thank you that you hear the prayer of your saints. Father, I thank you for the opportunity that we've had to share these lessons on prayer. And Lord, let them sit deeply in the hearts of each and every one that have heard them. We pray these things in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.